Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Friends, I'm John.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre. Then we're taking a deep dive into some of our favorite 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
All the way.
So we're back with a true Arnold classic.
Episode 2
yep.
of Total Recall.
Amazing, amazing Arnold vehicle.
And there's a lot to unpack, so
this
we're
is
not
going to
hit you guys with some trivia. We're going to dive right into this.
I love it. I love it. So where we left off was Arnold, or Doug Quaid,
that's right,
had gone to this recall business to have a memory implanted, but he had some sort of a mental
meltdown. He had a Mars
meltdown
and wanted some memories from Mars. It turns out there are already some locked
up there's
there.
Already some memories of Mars in his brain.
He has an episode, and the people at Total Recall, or at Recall rather, are like, we have to get this guy
out. Yeah, let's erase his memory of ever being here and send him on his way.
Nothing to see here.
So we open. Quaid sort of groggily wakes up inside of a cab.
A Johnny cab.
It's a Johnny cab.
Your weird animatronic taxi.
It's kind of, it's quite funny.
Yeah, no, it's a gas. You kind of think of it as being, I don't know, to me, it's like looking at it, it seems like shabby tech, like maybe it's been around a
while. Yeah, he's glitchy.
Yeah.
His like eyes are twitching and stuff.
Like maybe
it's
there's
like
a better model and this is like just old school.
He's like rolling his eyes and raising eyebrows and like he's a ham. I love it. He is apparently based on some real life actor.
That makes sense.
But yeah.
I would love, I'd like to dive in.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Tweet us and let us know.
The faces are incredible. The whole just, that whole gag, which we see later in the movie as well, like with Johnny Cab, is just tremendous. And
Arnold asking how he got there. He's like, the door opened. You got in. Hell of a day, isn't it?
It's pretty good. It is pretty good.
So the next thing that we see is the cab rolls up. Doug sort of stumbles out, and who should be waiting for him but our different Harry from the quarry.
Yeah, his coworker Harry.
Just waiting for him. And he seems to be aware
that he was at recall.
That Doug was at recall. Immediately sort of,
he's like, you went to recall. I think he was kind of like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And maybe he literally doesn't know because they wiped his brain.
That is exactly what I thought. It was like, he wouldn't remember that. And so when Harry calls him out on it, he's like, what?
He's like, well, like, come on, have a drink with me. And
I don't want to.
I got
to
get home.
We see three burly men run down the stairs and grab him. And out, Harry pulls a gun.
Yeah, and he's like, what, you know, understandably, Quaid's confused.
Yeah, and Harry says, you blabbed about Mars, and now you gotta die.
I know, basically. I love it. It's so memorable.
You blabbed, Quaid.
You blabbed about Mars.
Jesus, it's so
it's
good.
Such a good line.
It's very melodramatic, but it totally works.
They drag him into kind of a dark corner.
Yeah, he's about to get shot and killed, we guess.
Yeah.
But then secret agent training, and I love this scene. This reminds me of Jason Bourne and others, where secret agent training kicks in and Quaid kills all four of them.
He kills all four with relative ease.
That's right.
He's like snapping necks and shooting dudes.
And just like Jason Bourne would, sort of is like looking at his killing machines.
After he did it, I was like, how did I do that? I don't understand what just happened.
So like any good husband, he runs home and confesses to murder.
Yeah, he comes home. He tells the wife, Lori, Sharon Stone.
Right.
He's like, I just killed Harry and some other people. And she's like, when he tells the story, it sounds like insanity.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it? It sounds like a hallucination.
It sounds
delusion.
Like a delusion. Like, you know, like, oh,
she's
God.
Like, okay, what
he's
really happened?
Yeah, he's.
Because she's like, you what? Huh? And he's like, these guys, they said, you know, they tried to grab me and they were mad because I went to recall.
And she and is she furious. Flips. He went to recall. And she says that he's having delusions, but then he shows her his mitts covered in blood.
Yeah, he's like, does this look like a delusion? And it's like, you can't argue with that.
And she's like, we got to call it down.
Or it's like, oh boy, you killed a homeless person or something, right? Or a cat.
You fed a cat to an ATM.
Oh my God.
So she's going to call someone. He's like, no, don't call anyone.
Yeah. She's like, I got to call a doctor.
So he goes to wash up and she makes a call on the Skype phone. And who should it be?
Our first appearance of Michael Ironside, which,
oh my God,
at this point, presumably he could be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't really know who he is yet, but he's playing the role of Richter, and Michael Ironside is amazing in this role.
I love everything he's another guy that I'm just like,
he kills it.
He's sort of one note, but the roles that he plays, he's perfect for.
He's awesome. He was awesome in Top Gun.
Right.
Awesome in Starship Troopers.
And then great, like a weird art house turn in Machinist.
Yeah. On, he acts a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah. He's a very busy guy.
He tends to lose arms or have lost arms in a lot of his movies.
All the time.
This guy. He's like some sort of salamander. It just grows back.
So Quaid's in the bathroom. He's washing up. She's, quote, calling the doctor. And when he comes out, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's like someone's shooting at him. In from the darkness.
Yeah.
A lousy shot.
Shining a light, and someone's fucking terrible at shooting a gun.
Yeah.
Movies are great. Movies are hysterical.
They just keep missing.
So Quaid chucks a chair across the room.
Yeah, he does, like, he's doing these ninja rolls and stuff. Like, he's...
That training.
Again, the training. Right, it's like instincts. Yeah.
And he overpowers whoever this shadowy, mysterious figure in the room, reaches for a light switch and turns the lights on, and...
Wouldn't you know it, it's Lori.
That...
The wife.
Bitch.
Uh-huh. She's in her, like, tennis leotard or whatever, and
he fights the fuck out of him.
He lets her go because he's sort of startled, and she, like, I think elbows him or punches him in the dick,
She kicks him in the dick so many times, and this is just the first couple of several times that she kicks him in the dick.
Man, yeah, you stick with what works. But if you're you know, 110-pound Sharon Stone fighting 210-pound Arnold,
incapacitate by any means necessary, which at this moment is grab a knife.
Anything goes. It's Kumite rules.
That's right.
Anything goes.
Not the knife.
But they fight some, and Quaid predictably overpowers her.
That's right.
Yep, yep.
And then it's time for some exposition.
Uh-huh. Yeah, oh yeah. She tells him, look, we're not really married. I'm not really your wife. Our entire life together is a memory implant. Like, I only met you 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago. Blown away. He thinks they've been married for 8 years.
Married
in his mind, like, 8 years.
Which he is like, bullshit. I remember the wedding and the 8 years. And she's like, yeah, it's all memory implants.
They erase your identity and implanted a new one. And she's been assigned to monitor him.
And she doesn't even really know why, it seems. You know, honestly, like, at this point, she seems like maybe she's not going to be a bad guy.
Yeah, she seems super apologetic about it.
And, like, this sympathetic. It seems like she's, like, willing to help him at this point.
She's sitting down on the thing. They're sort of like, she starts playing around with him. You know, she's saying she really did fall for him, that she was the best assignment she ever had. And then she starts trying to make a move.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like... Good for Arnold for having that willpower, because I think I would have just jumped at that opportunity.
If you don't trust me, you can tie me up. She says that she starts to remove her leotard.
I know. He's like, I didn't know you were this kinky. And
he's like, well, it's no better time to find out. Like,
oh, man.
Let's get it going.
But then she throws a conspicuous, like, look over his shoulder at the video, like,
at the video
monitor.
Phone. Yeah.
And he,
it's like a screen on the wall.
It's like, surveillance camera or something. He turns around and sees, like, some goons entering the building, Michael Ironside and others.
And says, clever girl.
Clever girl. I wonder if Jurassic Park just, like, lifted that.
Even if they did or didn't, it's still
a good line.
Yeah.
A good line. Then he just, like, punches her and knocks her out. Is that okay? Like, I'm always uneasy
about
with these movies where, like, at what point is it okay for a dude to strike a woman?
I think that it's okay to incapacitate a woman in a situation where they're trying
to literally kill you.
They're trying to murder you, to rob you of your life, liberty, and property.
Fair.
So, yeah, Richter, played by Michael Ironside, and Sharon Stone are apparently an item in this.
Yeah, they enter, and he seems super concerned. One of the other guys, like, tries to help her up, and he
touch her.
Yeah, he shoves her. Michael Ironside shoves him off, and it's like, yeah, don't keep your hands off her.
She immediately apologized. Their interaction with each other is very tender, very familiar with one another. She apologizes for blowing it. He's concerned that Quaid, like, what's Quaid remember? She says nothing at this point.
Richter's top henchman, who we're going to call what?
Scanner Goon.
Yeah, he's got this, like, Quaid tracker.
Quaid scanner.
Yeah, so he's like, we picked him up. He's left the building. He's heading for the subway.
Scanner technology came a long time since RoboCop, let's just say.
it's great that it was 3D, because I found myself wondering, like, he could be on any floor, though, but then it was 3D, so they can actually tell. Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, so then we see Quaid sort of making his way through the airport community of
Now, they filmed this movie in Mexico City.
Okay.
Like, this was real architecture. It was real, their real transit system and everything. Like, they called the architecture brutalist architecture, which was a big style in the time. Soviet bloc as well. I think it was just kind of like everything giant is poured concrete.
Everything is just giant concrete, ugly, lots of straight lines.
So it does look, it seems otherworldly or futuristic or something.
Everything looks like Judge Dredd.
And based on the, so this is never mentioned in the film, but based on clues they give you, like phone numbers and in his like paperwork and IDs and stuff later, apparently the setting of this is supposed to be El Paso, Texas, which is,
that's interesting to me,
of all the, of all the places in the world. It's like, all right, sure. El Paso. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, so they don't ever say it in the film, but the story is supposed to be set in the year 2084.
Okay.
So it's that far in the future.
I mean, but we're nowhere close right now, but
you never know what city is going to be like the city in the future.
Right. And
you know, in
Ready Player One, it's Cleveland.
Yeah.
Ohio.
Absolutely. So, yes. You know, which I'll roll with that. Cleveland. El Paso. Cleveland. Interesting choice.
Go Indians.
Now this is when he hits that X-ray machine again.
That's right.
It's the payoff.
But then sets the thing off.
He's got a gun tucked in his belt. Yeah,
and that's a cool effect. It's a cool effect to see that he sort of catches, like, sets the thing off and then just like runs through it.
Well, he gets like security guys come in from the one side,
right?
And then Richter and his goons are coming from the other side, and he just dives through the glass, which is a super awesome effect.
And then, so more chasing. There's a sprint up an escalator.
Yep.
And then we get one of the more gruesome scenes in the movie. It's a little bit of that RoboCop Verhoeven overkill where he's being fired upon by four guys at the top of the escalator and hides behind a guy.
So he just sort of grabs an innocent bystander and uses him as a human shield. This is our hero, people.
That's that training, though.
Yeah, so he's hiding behind this guy who's taking just dozens of shots, and blood is flying everywhere. And Quaid is taking shots over his shoulder and taking the dudes out.
Yeah, just like just nailing them, picking them off.
Yeah.
He kills all four before...
right when he kills them, that's when Richter and his Scanner Goon comes up from behind. He whips around... The human shield takes a whole lot more gunfire.
And then he just hurls the body on them.
We'll call it a corpse at this point. Yeah. He just tosses the corpse down on top of them.
So long, human shield.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your contribution.
There's a great moment. So Arnold dashes away from the top of the escalator. Richter and Scanner Goon recover. And Richter just like straight up steps on the squishy corpse chest of one of his men.
Just no regard.
And there is like a... like noise or something. That's weird.
It's awesome. Then we see, I like our, just to say, it's like our pace is fast because the movie's happening fast.
The movie's flying.
Yeah.
And this is another movie like RoboCop where the first edit of the film was given an X rating because the violence was just so over the top. Yeah. Apparently this scene was a problem for the MPAA people. I can see why. It is like an innocent man, like, and just blood everywhere.
It works.
Yeah, we're living in a post-Die Hard world at this point.
Exactly.
Post-RoboCop world.
So, Quaid is continuing to escape.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up on the subway train pulling away. He's sprinting alongside of it. Sort of barely taps the glass on a window and it shatters.
No, dude. So this glass was supposed to be rigged up with an explosive, like, to shatter the split second, you know, before he hit it.
Right.
But apparently the charge didn't go off, and he really did break it with his hand and cut his hand pretty bad.
Oh, I take it back.
I think they had to shoot for a few weeks, like, hiding his hand from shots. Cause like, yeah. So dang. Yeah.
And they used that shot.
The same thing in Terminator, like when he walks up to the station wagon and breaks the window, like, they were doing it on a gorilla. They were doing it gorilla style on Terminator. And I think they were like, you know, it was going to take so much time to rig up a window to break. And Arnold's like, no, don't worry, James Cameron. Like, I can punch through the window. And he's like, all righty then. And he just let him do it. but it is, that's risky behavior.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Damn. Way to go, Arnold.
Yeah. So
you gotta make that paper.
He's got the strength is real, I suppose.
Yeah, it is definitely, definitely real. So yeah. So I take it back. Quaid breaks the glass and jumps.
You
on the
never
train.
Speak ill of Arnold.
I'm sorry.
At least not his strength.
Yeah. I should have known better. So breaks the window and then proceeds to dodge shit tons of bullets because Richter is just unloading indiscriminately into crowds of people. Arnold gets away and Richter is pissed.
He is so pissed. He wants Quaid dead. I mean, he killed a bunch of his guys and
I
then
want
like
that.
And then he's got Scanner dudes like, oh, no, dude, like, I don't blame you, man. I wouldn't want a guy like Quaid porking my old lady.
You saying she liked it?
And he's like, oh, no, I'm sure she hated every minute of it. Oh, big man. Eye roll. Yeah. This guy's like got some balls to be like breaking Richter's balls.
Scanner
you know,
Goon, I think, is like his lieutenant. Otherwise, he would already be
they
dead.
Must have a good relationship.
Yeah, he needs him.
It's kind of like a Joker and his right hand man.
Yeah, Bobby.
Bobby.
Always like, another Bobby. Bobby. So we need to mention that as soon as Quaid gets on that subway train, what plays but a commercial about real space travel being better than implanted memories.
Yeah. And there's, it's totally like
tongue in cheek.
Love the ad wars aspect of it all.
But also he's like, oh, that's a good idea. I need to get to Mars.
So Richter and them, they're back in the car, like on the video phone with Cohagen. So it's like, okay, so they're working for Cohagen.
That's right.
We're finding out the Mars leader that we saw on the newscast early on in the film.
Yeah. And he's already heard from Lori that Quaid doesn't remember shit.
Right. Like Cohagen wants Quaid alive.
Right.
And Richter, of course, wants to kill him. We've seen it's clear that Cohagen has an agenda.
Right.
We don't know what it is. Right. And that's who was it? Richter said we should have killed Quaid on Mars.
Yeah, we should have killed him on Mars.
So you're like, so he has definitely come from Mars or been to Mars before.
Right. Cohagen says he wants Quaid alive for re-implantation and back in place with Lori. But Richter, you know, obviously wants to kill him and fucks with the transmission. So he's like, oh, I didn't hear that last part.
I love that he's twisting the dial. He's like, sorry, sir, it's sunspots.
Oh, my goodness. And then it's at that point that Scanner Goon, they pick him up. They pick up Quaid again on the scanner.
They've honed in on him again. He's like in the... I don't know. He's checking into a seedy seeming hotel.
You know, he comes out in an area called the Galleria. Shout out to Houston, H-Town, Galleria. and then Quaid sort of comes out in the open from the subway and checks into a stain covered motel.
It's pretty gross. But probably the type of hotel that takes cash. It's,
only a deposit for the sheets.
And in an instant from him entering the room, the phone's ringing.
Yeah. Now a conversation that you and I had that we'll discuss later on is like so many things happen in this movie. Like
they're super convenient,
moments. It start. Oh, man. So anyway, a very convenient phone call. And who is it?
It's a guy who looks like a soap opera actor.
He looks and sounds like someone. They're like, who do we got?
I know. It's so weird.
Someone from Young and the Restless.
But you know what it is? It's like in a video game when the guy is like training you, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Is like just, it seems as though he's addressing no one in particular. Like he's just reading off a script.
Right.
But yeah, this part's, it's pretty freaking convenient. Yeah. If you want to believe that we're stuck in like a recall dream
right
now or whatever.
And the guy tells Quaid, hey man, you've got a bug in your skull and I'm offering you assistance. If you want to live, don't hang up, which all sounds like a script, right? Sounds totally like a script.
And Quaid, to his credit, is skeptical.
Right. Yeah.
This guy's like, dude, we were buddies back in the agency on Mars. And like you told me if you ever disappeared for me to find you and give you this suitcase that I've got.
Checks out.
So, yeah.
He tells Quaid, dampen a towel, wrap it around your head. And that'll buy you some time. It'll make the signal weaker. And then he tells him to come out to the payphone and get this suitcase.
So this one, Quaid, like he transitions into like turban Quaid. Like he's got this towel wrapped around his head in a very unique look.
Like Toad from Mario Brothers. Got that whole thing going on.
It's very odd.
But when he goes down to get the case and some lady's like trying to pick it up and walk.
She's like, I saw it first. first.
And he wrestles it away. And she puts up a fight.
She's like, he's like, it's mine. He's like, she's like, get your own case. He does. He just snatches it from her. And she's like, fuck you, you asshole. And he sort of just turns and gives her a weird bow.
And it's at that exact moment that he's spotted by the bad guys.
Yeah, they've rolled up to the Galleria area, but they don't necessarily. They're like, he's around here somewhere. Just keep your eyes peeled.
Right.
And he like locks eyes with Richter.
He stops and is like, oh, shit.
Yeah. So they're on him again.
Yeah. He immediately jumps into a Johnny cab. He can't think of a place that he wants to go. The Johnny cab.
Right. He's like, just drive.
He's like, why don't you tell me the number of the place that you want to go?
Well, it is. I can see the frustration. Like, yeah. In that world,
world where we're living,
the Johnny cab
to happen.
The Johnny cab is not going to take you to a it's not just going to drive because you tell it to drive. Like, drive, it's not going to go until you tell it where you want to go.
Yeah, the automatic Uber is not going to just drive.
You're not just going to dive in and say, drive
me 20 minutes north.
Yeah, yeah, no chance in hell.
So he fucking manhandles the animatronic driver, the Johnny cab guy, and disembodies him from the car and just takes the joystick himself.
Yeah, the fight with the Johnny cab driver is like so funny.
It's hysterical. It's
really good. He's like saying like, uh-oh, and all this is whatever, you know. So he peels out with the Johnny cab. He makes a getaway.
Lots of gunfire again out in the open.
Yeah. Yeah, but I love when he gets to, he crashes the cab.
Well, he shows up in your quintessential industrial site. Mm-hmm. The cab charges his 18 credits.
He's like, give me 18 credits. And then he's like,
sue me, you dickhead.
Sue me, dickhead. I love that he called a robot a dickhead.
And then that's at the point where the Johnny cab just speeds into a wall and explodes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
In a fiery crash.
Like, is that the Johnny cab programming? Like, you try to kill someone who doesn't pay their fare? In the real world, you would swipe your card or whatever, scan your card before it goes anywhere.
Right.
But
Yeah, I imagine.
I'm just wondering, like, did this thing go rogue, or is that like how it's programmed?
I don't know, but I mean, he did rip the animatron out.
But yeah, he tries to run him down, just runs into the wall, and it's a ball of flame,
which you know is gonna probably bring the bad guys here.
And also, that cost the Johnny Cab Company a lot more than the 18 credits that they lost.
Exactly.
Now they've lost a vehicle.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so Quaid runs upstairs in what looks like just an old factory that's on that property and starts going through the suitcase and finds like your quintessential,
all the spy shit,
your spy kit, your money, your fake IDs.
Yeah. A gun, maybe. What? Was there a gun in there?
I don't know. Yeah, I can't remember.
He had just tons of cash, different identities,
and what looked like a weird surgical device.
Yeah. He's like, huh?
And a bracelet.
Yeah.
There was a gun in there.
Because I think there was a gun and the
hand.
Yeah. And yeah, the bracelet thing, which is the most useful item in there, I suppose, is this hologram device. And he sort of turns it on. He sees a version of himself across the room, and he panics.
Starts having
and he had the gun.
Himself, yeah.
Yeah. And then he realizes it's a hologram, and he's like, oh, nifty. Neato.
Yeah. And then we cut back to our goons. Yeah. Neato. This is great.
Oh, if you look closely, there was like also a yellow garment of clothing hanging out of the bag.
Nice.
That we'll see in a little bit. Yep.
The goons hear about a fireball.
Yes, there was an explosion near the old concrete factory or something. Right.
So, and because the signal was in fact dampened by the fact that he had the wet towel on his head, so they've been driving blind for a little while trying to find
fireball. So this must be
was inconvenient for Quaid.
And there's a video message from Quaid himself, not Quaid, but Hauser,
who is just a sexy, charismatic, confident.
He seems like Arnold when he's not trying to be a character. Like, if you were just talking with Arnold, he's like,
and I gotta say,
a charming dude.
And maybe it's because he's putting a little more like thought and effort behind what he's saying, but it's like the accent's less perceptible when Arnold's like talking in that manner.
No, he's like, there's certain times that you see Arnold and you're like, oh, I get it. Like, he's such a charismatic and charming guy that the accent doesn't matter all that much. So Hauser starts talking him through more exposition, which is that, hey, I used to work for Mars Intelligence. I realized that Cohagen was a bad guy and I turned on him.
Yeah.
But if you're watching,
I met a woman who taught me the way.
Yeah. He's like, if you're watching this, then Cohagen must have gotten to me and wiped my memory. So
now
you got to get to Mars and link up with the good guys. He's like, tells him to go check out the Hilton and show him one of the IDs, and, you know, they'll tell you where to go from there.
Just do basically what I tell you, and we'll nail the son of a bitch who fucked you and me.
Yep. Oh, and he tells him, now take this one device, the weird looking device, and we're going to get that bug out of your head.
Oh my God. And yeah, it's, and it's terrifying to watch. He's, it's hard to watch.
He says, stick it up your nose until you hear a crunch.
Just shove real hard.
Oh, Jesus. He's like, don't worry, it's self-guiding. You don't have to do anything. I'm like, oh my God.
That's comforting. At least I don't have to be an expert in bug removal from my own skull.
The Arnold head puppetry on this one left a little something to be desired.
I mean, there's really only one in this whole movie that's unforgivable to me. So this is not that one. This still falls under the category. Okay. I can live with
it. I think we'll get to that one in our next episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, he pulls out this, I don't know, ping pong ball size.
Jesus, it's enormous. I mean, it's at least, I don't know, an inch long and as big around as a AA battery or bigger.
His nose is like stretching out. It's pretty gross, really. It's over the top for sure.
Like a truck.
Like a truck. Like a machine.
So yeah, the homing device is removed, and it is at just that moment, wouldn't you know it, that Richter and
friends. Well, what happens is once it's out of his head, the scanner hones in on him again. Yeah. So he's no longer got the towel protecting it. So Quaid, thinking quick, he like sticks it in this food, whatever thing that he's been eating, like a candy bar,
like a Milky Way or something.
Yeah. I think it was a Milky Way. And he tosses it to the rats that have been hanging around.
Nice.
Yeah. And it, you know, of course, befuddles the bad guys.
Yeah. The bad guys show up, are shooting every which way, but the right way.
Yeah.
And obviously
they shoot the Hauser video device.
They shoot the poor rat, the blood splatters everywhere. Gross. And all you hear is the Hauser video saying, get your ass to Mars, get your ass to Mars, get your ass to
which
Mars.
Is brilliant because it's super memorable, but also it tells the bad guys, presumably, like,
yeah,
oh, we need to go to Mars and continue the search for Quaid.
Richter's probably not happy about that.
Yeah it's pretty awesome.
And that, friends,
That's another section of this movie down.
That's how we wind episode two down.
This movie, the pace just never lets up. It's like one long chase.
It is. Yeah, it is unrelenting.
It's pretty great. It
really is.
It's fun to talk about.
It makes me feel breathless in between. I'm like, oh, God.
Let's crack open another beer.
Absolutely.
And let this train roll on. So we will see you guys next time.
We'll be back.